Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Shalom. Hello. Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday. Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. This is the Abracadabra Show, Create What You Speak. I'm Ilan Azulay. I'm your host. And I'm also an empowerment speaker and a spiritual mentor for women who desire to reclaim their power. And coming from that, with everything that is happening today, is really going to be an interesting hour. And I want to start first with the daily prayer intention. Ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha, hareini mekabel al atzmi et mitzvat ase shel ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha. I hereby accept on myself the utterance or the due commandment of love your neighbor, friend, fellow, partner, in the same expression that you express love to yourself. And there are a few aspects to this sentence, to this prayer, to this intention, and just the translation to English doesn't give the fuller meaning behind the Hebrew words that are saying that. And so there are two things. The first thing is the focus on ourselves. The focus on ourselves, the focus, the love to ourselves, the expression of love that we express to ourselves and give ourselves when we do that. When we do that, that is, many times takes a long journey to get there. And then we can express love to the person in front of us. And so the focus, first of all, is on us, so we can be wholer, yes, from whole. So we have an abundance to give. And the second part of the sentence is not saying really love your friend as you love yourself, but really it's love for your friend or for your partner in the same way that you love yourself. And what does that mean? So it is quite challenging, unless in a certain spiritual presence, state of presence, to love somebody in the same way that you love yourself. But it's easier and leads to that love when we wish the best things, the best experiences, the most abundant experience to our friend, to our partner, to our neighbor. And so when we do that, when I wish for you to have all the best, all the great things that you can accomplish with your gifts, all the abundance of the creation for you, then I'm expressing the love that I'm expressing to myself on not only on physical level, but wanting something for somebody doesn't necessarily, it's not about only I want you to have the best car or all this, the materialism only. And then we'll go into later on about that, because that is feeding only certain parts of our existence, not not the core, for that matter. So What we hear on this program is to discover the different tools, to discover the ways to access these tools that we all have, to discover and to reclaim your power, to reclaim our power. To reclaim our power, not power over somebody, not from the egoic standpoint, not from the egoic point of view of that everything is for me and me and me, from the other, but really our internal power, our internal creativity, the divine that is in each one of us, because we are made in the image of. It's interesting that there is no continuation usually to the image of, because there is no form really. So the image, while the image is formatic in sense, because an image is something that we look at, something like at a picture, there is a frame. So we look at a person, and there is a frame, and we say, oh, this is the image of. And usually it's associated with a frame, a beginning, an end, encapsulation. And so it's an image of non-form. And the non-form is the consciousness, it's the divinity, it's the creation, it's the power that we received as the creation, as humans, to create something from nothing. Usually we are familiar with, we take something, we put together things, and we build something, and when we need a tree, or we need a brick, or we take something, so it's more of making rather than creating. And so the creation is coming from a non-physical realm. And today I want to go in a little bit about that tool, that powerful tool that is so affecting our everyday, our every move, and it's being affected by us. So while it affects us, but we are also creating that which is going to affect us. So it's really a spiritual, a non-physical power, a non-physical element that creates something that bears fruit or not, if we nurture it. And that power starts with our thought. That power starts with our thought, and it is more obvious now in these times, because we are open, our consciousness is expanded. And the phone number here has nothing to do with the consciousness, but the phone number here is 323-203-0815. At 323-203-0815. The power of our thought, the power of our speech, the power of our words. And it's not just, oh, I decide to create this, then I'm creating. I decide to have this. I'm going to say, I want to manifest this gift in my life. I have this gift of art. I have this gift of music. I want to manifest it. many times, for the most part, because of how we grow up and where we are born and who we are born to and what story we chose to come to, our thoughts are choices that we make, come from, are affected by experiences that we had, are affected by traumatic events. In shamanism, it is believed that we're all born with trauma. We're already born with trauma. It's not only there, but it is putting focus there. So we are coming with trauma. Starts from our birth and through the weaning years and young adulthood and adulthood and then relationships and then our choices are affected by the place that we inhabit at that particular moment that we make the choice with these eyes. And so these are the eyes that I was talking about throughout the programs, about judging ourselves with the eyes of today on events and experiences that we had in the past year, in the past 5 years. And as we grow from these post experiences, as we go through everything and we are experiencing pain and all the stages that we go through to heal from traumatic events or from a toxic relationship or an abusive relationship, which is toxic too, but... And so going through all these give us the experience, give us the understanding, give us the knowledge, the experience that is teaching us, because our body is our guide. So we are going through these experiences and we are attaching then different things to new experiences. We bring things over, we bring luggage, we bring past experiences into the present. And so what we think, what we perceive to be there may actually not be there. How many times did it happen to you that you talk to somebody and you think something about that person? Oh, if I will say this, then they may feel that. And you don't say that because you think that that's how they will respond. And you don't say that. And you go on with making choices and observations and assumptions based on that thought that was based on a certain traumatic event. And so then the words that you say and what you say is affected by all these initial thoughts or judgment. And the reason I didn't use judgments in the beginning, the word judgment, is because judgment is judgment. Many times it's either positive or negative. It's still a judgment. It's still taking a person and putting them into a certain box which you thought that this is how it should be, and so you put them in a certain box. So it's either positive or negative. But there is an observation. There is an observation mode. If you are able to see somebody in front of you and just to recognize and just to observe what is happening, just as how a person is reacting or responding without judgment, and that could be in a relationship, and this is more obvious and daily thing that we experience with relationships, because this is really the essence of everything. We are connecting. We're part of this huge fabric. We're all connected. So it is coming to light so much more in relationships. So the words, the thought that we have, the choices of what to do with that thought, and how to react or respond to that thought, and to what we say based on that thought. So there are the two, there are the, as I talked about this, there is the what, there is the why, and there is the where. The what is happening. The where is the consequence. It's really what turned out to be. What happened at the end of the day. But many times people relate the consequence directly to what happened, to an action. So for example, if there is a company and 100 people were let go, were laid off, a year from today, or a year from that event, will all the 100 people be in the same place? Probably not. So what changed that? What was the difference? The difference was in their thought, in how they perceived it, in what they saw in the event. And what was the opportunity for them if they saw it that way? So, if you experienced, or you are in the midst of experiencing a separation, a breakup, a divorce, it doesn't have to be now. It could have happened a year ago. It could have happened 2 years ago. The question is, how are you today? How are you today in the sense of the choices that you make? So when we go through this breakup, we go into two stages. We go into two possible scenarios. One of them is you're separated from your husband or from your boyfriend, and you go into a deep place of darkness. And this place encapsulates the fear that has the self-doubt that everything that is being said to you or said by somebody, instead you take it into a place of defense, of losing focus of really the gifts that you have, of really what you're here to do, of the experience of the possibilities of something else. And yes, there is the period of the mourning or anger, all processes that we can go through, that we go through in different times. Or there is a complete denial. And you go out and you hang out and you're with people, and it's great to have people around you that support you and people that love you. And also know that when you are in the midst with people, and if you don't have the space to process it by yourself, alone, to experience pain, to experience the places of vulnerability, to go to these places. Because when we are in a vulnerable place, this is where we actually change. This is where we actually get the understandings of things, of how we were, of what we did, of how we said, or how we treated ourselves and others. And when we are vulnerable, we can see. When our heart is broken, we're wholer because we allow for things to come in. We allow for healing process to happen. In Kabbalah, there are three stages in the Kabbalah of the transformation. And there is the contraction, the time or the period where you start, where you feel the things are starting to get off sync, out of sync. And then there is the breaking point. The breaking point where something had to happen in order for you to see things differently, or to just to stop a certain cycle. And when the breaking happens, that's actually when the healing starts. That stage of vulnerability, that stage of coming into a place of chaos, the place of chaos that, as chaotic as it may appear or sound or feel, it is actually freeing, because from that place everything is possible. Because from that place you give birth to the rising, shining star, right? Nietzsche. So it is from the chaos we come out. From the chaos we rise. And so, but to be in this place is the vulnerability. That is where the healing starts happening. That's where you start seeing things in a way that you haven't seen before. Doing things maybe that you haven't done before. Possibilities. And today, also with the new moon that we had this weekend, and Hanukkah, the festivities of light, the Jewish holiday, very, very a lot of symbolism and a lot of important meanings and times and astrological times and calendarial times that we are here today. This is a wonderful time for new beginnings. And if you've experienced new beginnings, things shifting, please share. Share on Facebook or call here, 323-203-0815. And we'll continue with that, but first, I want to put a new song by Liron Ben Shimon, which Kilometer Lazricha, which is 1 kilometer to sunrise. It's a great analogy. I love this analogy. And the words by Erez Barzolik, and the music is by Omri Kastan. Liron Ben Shimon, and 1 kilometer before sunrise. And that's just before your finish line, you know. You go through things, you go through processes. And you feel you are just towards the end of your line. Sometimes it's very tempting to give up. Or you start something new, and you feel that you are rolling, as you are going, and then something comes up that reminds you, that takes you back, that pulls you right back to something from the past, or to a place from the past, or to a person from the past, and it pulls you, and you feel this pull. It's like the rubber on a slingshot. You feel that pull, and it's telling you, you've gone so long, you've come so far. There's one more kilometer, just the last stretch. And the last stretch, because in this journey we really want to come out of the darkness. The darkness that we put ourselves into, this darkness, with the help of other spiritual entities, possibly, probably, but we put ourselves with our thoughts, with our speech, with our talk, with our words, with the words that we create, something out of nothing. We create stories, we create everything. So, Liron Ben Shimon, 1 kilometer before sunrise, this is the last stretch. Liron Ben Shimon, 1 kilometer before sunrise. Yeah. So I want to read an excerpt from the blog of Michael Lightman, The Power of Thought. The evolution of defense systems up to the atomic bomb demonstrates that the stronger a weapon is, the more hidden it is to the human eye, and the heavier are its consequences. Cyberspace, for instance, could be the modern-day battlefield for potential war if the imaginary red button falls into the wrong hands. Taking this trend one step further, the most powerful and precise weapon being revealed today is the power of thought. Although similarly, we are unaware of its magnitude and dimension because of its invisibility. The scientific community claims that we are connected at the human level in a field that is activated through our collective consciousness or thoughts. This field is similar to the force of gravity, electricity, or the electromagnetic field in that its exact operation is hidden from the human senses. And the Kabbalah explains that such a unifying force is a law of nature, a network of forces that bind us together, not yet apparent to us, but it influences every aspect of our reality more than any other force. The power of thought is tremendously powerful, and its scope of action lies in the network of our connection. We are as strong as we are united, and as weak as we are divided. We are the ones who constantly operate this network. We just need to become aware of it and discover how to consciously make it work for our collective benefit. This is what it is, because it is available now. Now we are more in a place of recognizing these tools, the access to these tools. And this is so powerful, because you know, this is what happened. I actually did an experiment this week. I did an experiment because we talk about how many times do we think about somebody and that person calls, or we want to get something and then that happens and we are amazed by that. It's like dumbfounded by that. And why? Because for all our lives, we've been trained like puppies. We've been trained how to think, we can't train puppy how to think, but we've been trained, we've been tamed. For the most part, we've been tamed. How to think, how to breathe, how to eat, how to sit, eat with a fork, eat with a knife, all these kind of things that are social structures, but this is where we live, so and we try to be part of society all together and connected, so many times we overlook on certain things. And so I did an experiment of thinking about two people and one thing to happen. And they both happened within, one of them happened within a week, and the other one happened within, the other two happened within 2 days. Those are the phone calls. And you know, the shifting is not necessarily also not necessarily just how we think or how we operate, but it's also shifting from being in a certain perception. It's just the actual understanding that we are shifting from one place to the other, aside from the actual shift. It's like a two level. There is the actual shift that is happening, and then we are surprised, we are happy, we are excited. This happened. But what actually happened before that, yes, the thought of and thinking and manifesting and inviting it from the universe into our lives. So these are the two processes, but there is another one. There is another one. There is recognizing that we are making a shift. Recognizing the differences in our choices, in our choice of going to something that is unfamiliar and unknown. Making that choice. So there is this understanding, and then you can watch it like a movie, and you can watch it like a map. And this is what I do in working with you. If you are out of a relationship, a toxic relationship, you left your husband, you left your wife, you are in a place of chaos, is mapping your experience. We map your experience through different tools, through Kabbalistic tools, shamanic tools, sound healing. It's mapping the experience and being able to look at it like a movie, like a film. So those are the things that we go through in the workshops, but some of the things that we're talking about here are all part of these tools, of these access, of these paths to access the tools. And this is the path that leads to reclaim your power. Reclaiming your power, your inner power, your inner guidance, your inner creativity. Being a light, first, you have to light a flame first. You have to carry the flame first. And then be light to the world. Take the light, the fire within you of creating out to the world. Hanukkah is this. Is the last day of Hanukkah today, and the interesting about the interesting and beautiful and very spiritual, very powerful tools and powerful channeling of energies these days. This is Jewish scriptures, Kabbalistic explanations for different things that are happening this week. And so Hanukkah, if you don't know, is being celebrated 8 days, and it is to commemorate to the memory of the miracle that happened during the Greek the time Antiochus ruined the temple and ruined everything, all the oil cans, everything. There was a lot of atrocities that were happening there against the Jews, and there was one after everything was said and done, and they left, and there was one can of unopened oil canister that was unopened, and the way that it was at that time, it was sealed with clay. What's clay? It's not clay. I don't remember the word in English now, but it was sealed cheres. If anybody knows the word cheres, then you type it or send me a note. And then there was a seal of the high priest. And so there was one canister that was found, and it was the oil there would be enough for one day, and it lasted for 8 days. Now, so really what was happening here, the war, or the what was happening from the Greeks to the Jews was really an interesting. It is referred to as the battle of the darkness with the light. Because the Greek and that were referred to the darkness versus a spirituality. And why is that? Because the focus, what Antiochus wanted to do, what Antiochus really attempted to do, he didn't mind that there were Jews. It wasn't like Haman or Hitler that really just didn't want any Jews. You know, Hitler took 5 generations back to see if there was a Jewish blood in the lineage of that person. Also, if that person is a priest, if he had in his lineage somewhere, then they would take him. But Antiochus really wanted to be done with the culture and the way of life. Because the focus was on the body. All the focus was on the body. It was focused on the body, on the making the body God. The body is the ultimate. That's why everything was so muscular and so had to look so beautiful. And it was focused on the body. There were different stories in the Mishnah and Gemara and about things that were done to preserve that adoration for the body, the making the body so godly. That's why the sport, all this, everything comes from there, was to commemorate the body. And so when it's only about the physical, only about here, this is really and eliminating the and taking out the infusion of spirituality, the infusion in the creation, in the divinity of the creation into the materialism, then it's really becoming, it's really separating. It's like oil and water, where they cannot mix. It's creating this separation between the spirituality and the physicality. And that can manifest in many ways, not just in sport, in anything that is materialistic. If it's only the material, if it's only feeding the nefesh, the lower level of our presence, of our consciousness, there are the level of our neshama, the level of our existence in our body, the animalistic existence, and I'm not saying it with any negative connotation, just a level of physicality. It's like if you throw a piece of meat on the floor near a dog, the dog won't think twice whether it is poisoned or not. It's just the instinct. It's the instinct of our body. The sexual instincts, the other bodily instincts, the other, just to feed our body, to feed our fear, to feed our addiction, to feed all these kind of things that are coming from a place of a need, that in Kabbalah it's all stored in our liver. That's where the sacral chakra is. And that is, and when that is driving you, especially when you are in a vulnerable place, and that not necessarily means only actions that you do, but also who is entering your door during the time of vulnerability. Who is entering your door of consciousness during this time? Who is influencing? Is anybody influencing? And so when you go through these periods of time, it's the lightness and the darkness. It's the lightness and the darkness. And how can this manifest in our daily presence? So you can say, well, I'm not going every day, I'm not doing sport, I'm not exalting my body, but I have other things that I like. I like buying cars. Is anything that is physical, or in the case of getting out of a relationship, is going to these places that are feeding those negative energies, anger, fear of doing something, the fear of saying something to somebody. And so, here is something: when you have a choice to make, you are post a relationship, and you have a choice to make. You have a choice to make about something. If you're going through a divorce, you know, that can be very difficult. Aside from the emotional separation from a person, then there is all the litigation and all these things that many times can take us out of our presence, out of our core. Notice where your choice is coming from. I always say the body is your guide, your mind is your pride. Now, in contrast to what I talked about, focusing only on the body and feeding the body, giving the body its addictive behaviors, or aside from that, that associated with Hanukkah and the Greek, and if something doesn't feel right, your body will show that. If something feels right, your body will show that. So it's not putting your attention and making your God, your body God, your body the most important, your feeding of the addictions and other things that you're doing to be in this physical world only, but is to notice the reactions, your spiritual reaction of your body. And you can say that, for example, you can notice when somebody is uncomfortable, they close their hands or they put their hands together. There are different body expressions that as you experience, where do you feel this choice? If you have a choice to make, where do you feel it? Do you feel it in your body? Do you feel an expansion in your body? Do you feel tightness in your stomach? Is your heart breathing faster? Is your heart beating faster? Or you are thinking about different ways to make this happen. You're concocting in your brain all kind of things, all kind of ways, and maybe there is fear that you're thinking, no, but this is, where is this fear, where is this coming from? Coming from your head? Above your shoulders? Your throat? Or from your body? How does it feel in your body? Or do you find yourself in your head a lot? And if there is a, if you can't discern that, you cannot discern, if you cannot see, okay, well, I don't know if I'm thinking about it or I'm feeling it because I'm thinking what I'm feeling and I'm feeling what I'm thinking and this drives that. And there will be a post that I will put about a special Kabbalistic breathing technique that will put you in a place of quietness separation into a quiet place where you can separate, where you can observe, you can look at things like a map, and you can make that choice. So this is a time of renewal. This is a time of renewal, of recognizing, before there will be a renewal, let's recognize where we are. Let's recognize where we are and allow shift to happen. And allow shift to happen. Because the things that we are so afraid of, we think that somebody thinks in a certain way. We think that this will happen or that person is thinking one way. And if we don't say that, if we don't allow this to come out, then we are really limiting ourselves. And altogether, how are we holding ourselves? How are we placing ourselves in what is happening? Is it coming from our body? Is it coming from our mind? Happy Hanukkah to you. I will talk to you next week. And come visit me on my site, bodysoulsound.com. There will be some news about workshops and and groups and private sessions. And in the meantime, we'll finish with, again, Liron Ben Shimon, When We Lose Our Words. Have a happy Hanukkah. Be light to the world. Much love. Shalom ve'litot.
השמש לא הגיע, הלילה מזדקה, אומרים שהשתיקה תופיע, כשלא יהיה על מה לדבר. הרחוב הצר נעלם, ככל שהתרבו הצעדים, ואיתו עבד הגשם, עבדה רוח בפנים. אולי קצת נשתקע כשנאבד את המילים, ואולי נתנשק.
Listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak with Ilan Azulay.